afternoon. I'm here with bass superstar Ferruccio Furlanetto, and we start this famous series of podcasts for the studio of Rutgers University. And he will be, first of all, I want to thank him for doing this in a very rainy day in Palermo. And we shall start right away. And some students send questions, and basically you're going to be answered. And, you know, any insight that you want to bring more stuff outside the question, please feel free to do it. The first question is, was your professional debut? They want to know which opera or oratorio.
My very, very first night on stage was in a small theater next to Vicenza in Veneto. It's a lovely 18th century little theater where the year before I was second in the competition. And the prize, beyond some little money, was the debut. So with 3 days rehearsals, we did Rigoletto, I was para fucile, with them, I must say, at that time, a good cast, because there was this, it was quite famous at that time, a baritone called Franco Bordoni, Licia Albanese, so not bad at all. And this was the very, very first time on stage. Then, let's say, this was 19th of March, 74. And then, the real important official debut was a few months after, in December, in Trieste, which is one of the 14 official theaters in Italy. And it was Boheme, Colline, with a sensational cast, because the tenor was a young 30 years old José Carreras, together with a 30 years old Katia Ricciarelli, and lovely production, and it was the real important debut. Yeah,
not bad at all.
Not bad at all.
Good people. And which brings me to the next question. You started to study voice with Campo Galliani directly, or do you have other teachers, and how that was?
Well, you know, I was coming from pop song music, and when I was singing pop, I used to go to a pianist, very good pianist, Efrem Casagrande in Vittorio Veneto, and his wife used to be a singer who didn't make a brilliant career, but nevertheless she was teaching the right way. Actually, it was more or less the same address that Campo Galliani had afterwards. So the first one was this lady, Rina Casagrande. Unfortunately, they are both dead now. He was a sensational pianist. I mean, all the things that I learned with him at school was really forever. And then I started a few months after the first operatic vocalize with Campo Galliani in Mantova, where I was going 2-3 times per week, which was quite an effort, because at the time I had to take a train at 6 o'clock in the morning, in Mantova at 9 o'clock, lesson and back. So it was, but I was pretty young, so it was rather normal.
How old were you when you started with him?
I was 22.
Okay. And You mentioned something, I hope I don't commit indiscretion saying this, but you had your grandmother that basically helped you a lot to do
my
this.
My grandmother, the mother of my mother, she was the pushing me to do this, to continue to sing. I mean, she was happy when I was singing pop, but she was even happier when I started to study for opera. And she was paying my lessons, and she was really a very, very important support at the time.
And let's talk a little about Campo Galliani. He was a fantastic pianist, and we know, also, you know, the teacher of Freni and Tebaldi and Pavarotti,
Scotto,
everybody went there.
Yeah.
What was, if you can describe something in the technique that he was...
But let's say that his important target in his teaching was what we call in Italian linea di canto. So that is, let's say, the economy of breath and interpretation in a phrase. To do a phrase from the very beginning to the very end without giving the impression that you are out of breath or suffering. And in between, you have to paint with the colors of your voice what you're saying. So this was the most important mark in Campogalliani school. Actually, Campogalliani school, it would have been perfect, let's say, probably more for people already in career rather than beginners as I was at the time. But of course it was extremely important also as for a beginner like me, because when you are singing pop, you breathe in the way it happens. I mean, here there is a technique, there are many things that must go together. I will never forget, for instance, I was vocalizing and I was stiff like a piece of wood, and he was telling me, leave free those hands, keep them very relaxed and free, and all the body should be like that. And so from the very beginning I was trying to vocalize, put the voice in the right position, and nevertheless to leave the rest of the body completely relaxed. And this was extremely important, because then when you come to be a character on stage, the voice is fundamental, of course, but your body is what you need to be the character. And if you are stiff like a piece of wood, first of all, you are rather funny to look at, and it doesn't help for sure to be the character that you need to be.
And I have many different type of students, very different type of voices, but I do have a bit of baritones and bass baritones. And we have, as you know, a bit of a problem at the beginning, because they tell us we are certainly too young to do certain repertoire, and then when we are too old, they tell us that we are too old to do certain repertoire. As a bass baritone, when you were young, what type of repertoire you were dealing with?
You know, when I started the Campogalliani, I remember that when I had to meet this gentleman, I went to Padova, where he was playing for a concert or whatever. He was a great pianist too. And I prepared the aria of Fiesco, which was the most simple one and maybe the best for a young bass. And he didn't want to listen to it at all. He just asked me to make few vocalize, just to find out what kind of extension I had and what kind of voice. So he started, and I did it, and he said, oh, you are a bass. So it's wonderful, and we have to start to study in this direction. And I would say that this is the most important thing, because if you study from the very beginning to do what is meant by nature for your voice, you will never have this problem of being too young for something or too old for another, because we are like athletes. If nature made you to run 100 meters, you cannot run 10,000. And very often today, we have singers starting in a very wrong direction, doing repertoire that in few years will destroy the material, the natural material that they have. Therefore, the choice of the repertoire from the very, very beginning is fundamental for your survival.
We agree completely.
As a singer.
I agree completely, 100%, of course, and 10. Okay, here there are some questions regarding your professional career. For example, and this is for everybody, you know, being a woman and male, having a family, how do you deal with the traveling and having a family and, you know, the stress of going in one place to another? And
I was married pretty young, and I had a little kid, and so at the beginning it was quite hard to leave home. Then, thanks God, if you want to really to make this profession, you must be used, get accustomed to this, because otherwise it will be very hard, maybe even impossible. Because being away can be hard. You spend most of your time alone. You need also to learn to live alone. Otherwise, it could be really influencing your entire career. Then traveling is the bad part of this profession, I would say. Not just jumping on a plane and have a good seat and fly and arrive. Luggage. I detest luggage. I detest to pack and unpack and sometimes to drag them. It's really the only bad aspect of this profession. And there are, I mean, of course you can be helped, you can pay somebody for doing the job for you, but there are moments when you have to deal with it, and it's the only really bad aspect. The good things that come through traveling is that you can meet people, friends, in whatever corner of the planet, and whenever you go back to that place, you will feel at home, and it's wonderful. Is what is happening, for instance, in San Diego, that we know very well. You go there, you arrive, you see all your friends, it's fun. So, traveling, when it comes really to the dirty part of it, to dragging bags and flying and taking precaution during the flight.
So you don't get sick.
Because if you get sick, you can be sure that it's normally the plane, because of this recycled air with a lot of people that probably are sick, sneezing, coughing. So you need to, what I do, I put kind of balsamic cream in the nose in order to keep the mucosas always very wet and humid, because if they are dry, is the ideal ground for bacteria and viruses to get in. And since few years, the night before I start with a little, there is a kind of spray inhalation that you for of an antiviral called Relenza.
Yes.
And I start the night before with one, then before 1 hour before leaving with another, and maybe if the trip is long, another during the, and cross fingers. Yeah,
that's very important. Many of the students have the question regarding breathing, and I have the pleasure to see you breathe on the stage. And it's a wonderful feeling to have you. I think you have a phone call. You wanna pause it for a little bit?
Yeah,
that's okay. We're talking about breathing. Yeah. I have the experience of seeing you on the stage, and you know, when you breathe, you open, you relax, you go down. What happened when you started with the breathing?
In the transition,
in the transition from the pop. Obviously, you breathe differently.
It was. I remember that the first lessons were basically only that. So I was standing there, and he was asking me to fill my lungs and then to release as little as I could, like that, like the tire of a bicycle when it's losing a bit of air, and then to do the same, breathing and all open all your lungs, and then very fast. And this on and on. Then, of course, I remember the Campo Galliani came a few years after, because I started in 72. So in 3 or 4 years after, I was doing a 4 years after I was doing my first Giovanni in Treviso, where I won the competition, and the prize was a title role, so and a debut. And because at that time there was no way, no possibility for a young singer to sing Don Giovanni. Giovanni was considered like a sort of final target for somebody in career. And Campo Galliani came, I remember, and he was extremely pleased, and he told me, well, from now on, the teacher is you. You are the only one who can really understand what you need to do, how you need to save this economy of breath in a phrase.
How much you need to give.
How to distribute and to give and not to give. So after that, he told me, now this is the right road that you have to follow. And now you don't need me or anybody. You just need to go through this way and listen to yourself as feelings, as internal reactions, which of course has to do also with breathing, because then when I started to sing, let's say, more demanding roles like in Philip, and you have this beautiful long cantabile, you have really to find the proper way to distribute your breath through the phrase and to paint with your colors the feeling that this character is having.
Which brings me to the next question. We see on the stage here you're an incredible actor. Have you had any training for acting, or that came naturally, just looking, watching?
No, not training at all. I mean, it's something that, of course, you need to have in your genes. And then you need to find somebody who is able to make you understand that you have this possibility, and to trust in yourself and to go on. And this was Jean-Pierre Ponelle. This was Jean-Pierre Ponelle, the greatest of the opera directors of these times. I mean, when I started, at least. Still, we have magnificent production of Jean-Pierre, and he was really the one who, he didn't teach me. He was just giving me the knowledge of what I could do, and he was asking for something. He was showing me what he wanted, and I was gradually repeating and grabbing these ideas and make them mine. And then I started really, after years of this kind of work, I started to privilege the roles where, of course, there is an important vocal matter, but also you need to be a character. Like King Philip, like
Boris
Godunov, Don Giovanni, of course, Figaro, all this, where vocality is fundamental, and fundamental as well is the capability to be an acting singer.
And when you sing in languages that they're not, as I know you speak Italian wonderfully, English wonderfully, German wonderfully, how is your Russian?
My Russian as pronunciation is very good. I did Boris in Russia. I did my Russian recital in Russia with great success. I did record it. And it's a language that I simply adored, because even though Russian and Italian don't have anything in common as languages, nevertheless, when it comes to singing, they are both based in the same thing, vowels and very soft consonants. And so it is quite easy for an Italian to go into that. On the contrary, it's not easy at all to go into German, for instance, because then you have very much sounds coming from your throat, which we do not have in Italian. And Russian today is one of the big part of my repertoire.
And what goes on the preparation when you are translating these songs or these roles?
Well, just to make an example, when I prepare the first approach to Russian repertoire was this big recital that I started with Alexis Weissenberg in the early 90s, Rachmaninoff, Mussorgsky. And of course I took advantage of being in New York at that time for 4 months in a row, and in New York there is a school, and if you need to learn something, let's say in Russian, they sent me a lady, a mother language teacher at home. She was coming basically every day, and this was the first work. So I was learning sounds, I was learning the meaning of the words, And it was a gradual, long, very long work. And then I started a recital. We went on for a few years until Weissenberg was in good shape. And then a few years after, in 1999, came my first Boris. And at that time, my knowledge of Russian was already quite important. And in fact, it happened something very peculiar, if you want, at that time, because I had a contract to do the very first version of Boris, which lasts 2 hours and 15 minutes, the real only Mussorgsky version. Something happened in Rome, the conductor left, and so they decided a month and a half before to do another version, the Lamm, which is 4 hours and a half. So it was a good 50-60% of music and text more. At that time it took me 4 months to learn the first version. And then when they finally told me about this change, it was exactly 2 weeks before the beginning of rehearsals. So I just told them if they were simply crazy to do some kind of jokes. And then we spoke, and 10 days before, it was a Friday at 9 o'clock in the evening, I started to look at this score, and Monday the 24th, I knew it by heart. Probably now it wouldn't happen again, because, I mean, if you really want something, you can obtain it even with short notice like that. But you need some very, very special
incentive and energy to
absolutely.
Do it. Yeah.
So I did it, and the fact that my knowledge of Russian was already quite good, it made it possible. Otherwise,
it would be possible.
Now, because you can't repeat sounds without knowing, because doesn't work.
It is very impressive when you said something about Bonnell the other day to me about this teaching, about which is actually very simple to say, but it's very tough to actually do it. Mm. Which is to paint, to interpret the meaning of the words that you are saying. And this process obviously takes time and takes experience, I'm sure. Was there any time in your career that, for example, they were offered to you roles that they weren't for you, and you had a controversy saying yes, saying no?
Well, no, it happened a few times, for instance. The most risky one was when, during the rehearsals of Don Giovanni in Salzburg in 87, Karajan Karajan said, which was quite different, that we should have done together Carmen Escamillo. And I was scared to death, because I'm not a baritone, I will never be, and I wasn't, of course, at the time. And I was very clever to change subject immediately of the discussion, and talking about cars, and everything collapsed, and he didn't ask any more about that. But it would have been a problem, of course. That it could have been a problem, because you couldn't say no to Karajan. So it could have been the end of working with him, or it could have been, if I would have done it, it could have been painful. In the other cases, of course, I mean, today, and also in the past, less in the past, but today more and more, the level or the artistic directors is rather poor. Therefore, it can happen that they ask you to do something that is not at all for you. And in that case, you say no, that's it. Of course, there is no problem with your agent, because the last word is mine. And if I don't feel like doing
that,
something
is do it.
Everything collapses and finishes.
Yeah, I think the question also comes because many of these young singers when they start, they have economic trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tough to say, because also, you know, that will bring me to the next question about, you know, the times have changed in the mm-hmm. overall world. But it used to be that singers used to be able to sing serious and comic roles in the same kind of level.
Mm-hmm.
Today, kind of, they put a sticker and mm-hmm. say, well, this person is only for modern or for baroque or whatever. And there are many that they are afraid about taking some type of repertoire that will put a sticker on their career.
But that's
forever.
Up to the student. I mean, if you... From the very beginning, I knew that I wanted to go in a certain direction. I wanted to do, of course, the Verdis, and I wanted to do the Mozart, the Italian Mozart, Figaro, Giovanni, then Leporello. And therefore, at the beginning, yes, it could be difficult, because I know that, I remember that I was offered some buffos. I did only once Cenerentola, Magnifico. It was fun. And I did it also quite well, but I didn't want to do that. Therefore, in those years, let's say in the first 10 years of my career, I said no to the things that I didn't want to do. Also, if the price was to stay at home a bit longer. But you have to do that, because then comes the story of the stickers, and then you could be really... put in a corner, and it will be quite difficult to come out from it. So yes, the choice, you need to know from the very beginning, almost from the very beginning, what you want to do.
What you want to do.
And what you should do.
Yeah.
And then go ahead with that, with accepting with joy the things that you think they're right, and refusing the others.
We're getting into the end of the interview, and I want to ask you a couple of questions. One is regarding the opera world today. What do you think this new generation, the new kids, needs to do or can do to bring back a little bit of the golden era of the opera?
I'm afraid that they cannot do anything in the sense that the problems are not coming from them.
I agree.
The problems are in the theatres, in the administration of the theatres, in the quality of the great personalities of the theatre. I'm talking about conductors or directors. I mean, these sensational, incredible, charismatic personalities, like, I mean, Karajan was even
beyond that.
Yeah,
yes,
he was on another planet. But at the time when I started, I was lucky enough to work with Scholti, with Bernstein, with Giulini, and all these big, great old men. And of course you could learn a lot from these people. Now everything became very materialistic. Also the big names are going after money and power, more power than money. And they don't have much to share with anybody. Therefore, if you need to make experience, you need just to trust in yourself, because you won't get any kind of help. And I'm afraid it will be quite difficult to change the situation, because the average world of music that we have today, the low average, is because in the commanding positions there are persons who shouldn't be there, because they don't have any charisma. Most of them don't have it, and their choices are basically wrong all the time.
So basically what you're saying, and if, I don't know if you agree, is that I believe also that the young people need to concentrate in singing beautiful and well.
Okay, that's fundamental.
That's fundamental.
That's
and
fundamental.
Then, and then
whether there will be good administrators or bad, you need to be good.
You need to be good. And
yeah.
then maybe something.
Maybe it will be lovely to have a school preparing administrators.
That would be better than yeah. That would be a good idea. Yeah. So then we can start some business together here. And I want to thank you very, very, very much. This is our first podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the pleasure to do it with you, which I consider you my friend. And hopefully we can be, in the future, we can bring you to Rockers. I know that you hate to teach.
No, I don't hate. I'm not a teacher.
But I know. but maybe we can bring you just to talk, to do this. But we give you good Italian coffee or something, and or nice food. But that will be tough after Palermo. But just to be there, just for the people. Or maybe I'll bring you all to New York to hear you. That's another thing.
That will be better.
Now you're performing at the Met, correct? After this, mm-hmm. You are doing small operas. Tell me again.
Don Carlo.
Yes, very small.
And Bocanegra.
Yes, very small opera. So maybe we can come and there and do you the clack. I thank you very much, and I will see you tomorrow in the performance.
Okay. Thank you, dear.
Thanks.